Okay, today's daf is Vav Basu Daf Kuf Mem. We are starting with the new perek. We're starting perek Misha Meis, Kuf Lamites Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Misha Shemes. I mean, there's a halacha we've been dealing with a lot, but now we have it explicitly. Misha Meis, a guy dies, v'niach banamu banos, and he leaves both sons and daughters over. Bizman shanachasim rubin, habanim yirshu v'abanos yizonu. So when he has a lot of money, a lot of possessions that he left over, so the sons receive the Yerusha, the daughters do not receive Yerusha b'makom banim, so the sons receive the entire Yerusha, but the daughters receive mizonos, meaning there is an obligation in Tanai Ksuba that he has to support the daughters from the Yerusha, so the daughters definitely receive mizonos. Nechasim muatin, let's say there's not a lot of money to go around, so then what takes precedence, the Yerusha d'Araisa or the mizonos that he's chayiv in? Halacha is habanos yizonu, the daughters receive mizonos, v'abanim yishul al psachim, and the sons are going to have to go around begging by the doorways, going to people's houses, knocking door to door to get money, because they're certainly not going to receive any money from the Yerusha if there's not enough to go around, because the daughters come first. Admon Omer, in what seems like a very odd comment, Admon says, Bishvil shani zacharif sadidi. What religion is this? I don't recognize anything in Judaism where boys lose. How come? Because I'm a boy. Because I'm a male, I lose out. Right? That I'm not going to be able to get money when my father leaves over nechasim watim. Since when do boys lose in Judaism? So well, that's not exactly what he meant. We're going to see in the Gemara exactly what he really meant. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Rohani is Divri Admon. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you know what? Admon has a good taina. Admon has a very valid taina. So a couple of things. First of all, in this last line, we'll go backwards over here. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, right? We say that Rohani is Divri Admon. So what do we paskin like Admon? Rabbi Gamliel says that he thinks Admon is correct. Meaning, what Admon seems to be saying is that when there's nechasim muatim, it's not fair that the boy should have to go yishalu al psachim. That doesn't make any sense, that the boy should have to go begging and the girls are going to sit back and enjoy all the mizonos. So says Rashbam, v'hachi hilchasa ka'admon. And yes, we paskan like Admon. Dam perak pasur de ksubis kal makam shomer gamliel roa nias divrei Admon halacha kaboso. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis that any time it says that Rav Gamliel makes a comment in the Mishnah roa nias divrei Admon, we always paska that way. When Rav Gamliel says roa nias divrei Admon, all bets are off. That's the way we paska the halacha. Says Tosfos, amar Rav Gamliel roa nias divrei Admon b'ksubis amar kal makam shomer gamliel roa nias divrei Admon halacha kaboso. Amar le Rav le Rav Nachman afilu bebraisa. Mikali Yisugi Mashmadalach Kadmon. Says Tosos, I acknowledge that which the Rashbam says, that if you learn Misachas Ksubis and you just learn Ksubis Daf Kuftes, it seems very clear that the halacha should be like Admon. But Vitema, the Hacha B'Gemara Kulishmaita Krabanon, the Admon, with the Lokil Chasa, our entire Sugi is going to be assuming not that way. Our entire Sugi is going to be assuming that when they're in Nechasim Watin, the girls get the Mizonos and the boys are left being Shaul Al Psachim. And so how could it be that our whole Gemara is going to Lokil Chasa? The whole Shakla Vitari that we're going to have in today's entire daf is going to be the Lokil Chasa. So Tos says a little bit weiter, V'rach V'alachos Gedolos V'Rav Alphas Pasku K'Rabanon Da Admon. So there are serious Rishonim that hold like the Rabbanon of Admon, not like Admon. Like the Rabbanon who say that the daughters are going to get the Mizonos and the Banim are going to be Yishul al Psachim. Why? Mishum Deshmaitin Dachak of Sayu Azla. Because our Gemara goes like the Rabbanon of Admon. Even though Admon is mentioned in our Mishnah, the Shaklavatari of our Gemara seems to be like the Rabbanon of Admon. Aye, what are you going to do with the Gemara Ksubis where it seems to say that the Halacha follows Admon, that the Halacha is always like Rabbi Gamliel when he says Roa Nias Divrei Admon? Rabbeinu Tam Omer, the Admon lo palig arabanan. Admon is not arguing here. He never says you're wrong. He never suggests any alternative. What does he say? He just like throws his hands up in the air and says, no fair. Okay, no fair, but it is what it is. Right? Ella, shematmiya ala takana shetiknu nechasim muatin. He's just saying, I can't believe the rabbis made a takana like that. How could they do that to me? I'm a boy. Right? That's all he's saying. He's not saying that I disagree, that I don't think that's the takana. I know that was the takana. I just don't like it. I don't have to like every takana the rabbis make. I just have to follow them. But Tosus points out that's really not the Pasha Pshat. Rav Gamliel concludes the mission by saying, Roani is Divrei Admon. What's he saying? Objection noted? I agree? I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Roani is Divrei Admon has no halachic significance, if you can understand like the Rabbeinu Tam. So it's very difficult to say that Admon that Admon actually agrees, does not argue on the Tanakhama. The Rush points out that's how you'd have to say that's how you'd have to understand Rav Gamliel according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that he says I understand that Rav Gamliel is saying Ra Yafes Tmias Admon Al Dinat Takana Al Bemes Modesh Kachu Adin, that Rav Gamliel acknowledges that Admon has a good kasha on the Takana. But that's the din, that's the takana, that's what we have to follow. So that's one point in the Mishnah, in terms of the end of the Mishnah, of what's going on with Admon. Now, in terms of the beginning of the Mishnah, so we said the banos are yizonu, they get mizonos. What does mizonos mean? So Rashbam puts two words, it says two words to describe mizonos. It says the banos yizonu, mizonos, well, three words, uparnasas nisuin. Mizonos and parnasas nisuin. So he mentions mizonos and parnasa together. So what does that mean? So Tosos understands it in a very specific way. Says Tosos, Abanos Yizanu, the previous Tosos, first one in the Perek, Mashi Hiskir Rashbam Bahadi Mizonos Parnasa. So Tosos apparently just saw the word Parnasa, and he made an assumption that Parnasa, and he's going to say, Einir L'Rivan, Da Mizonos Hainu Achtil V'Shtia, U'Parnasa Hainu Malbushin V'Tzarchi Anisuin. He says, I don't think that the Rashbam is correct when he says Parnasa, because I know what Parnasa means. Parnasa means clothing. So not only does it mean food, that which they actually need to eat and drink, but it actually means clothing and whatever they need to get married. Utrei milin inhu, but says Rivan, if that's what the Rashbam means, I have to object. I don't believe that that's correct. Those are two different things. Kedam Perak Mitzvah, Yishu Motziyin LeParnasa, Ve'im Motziyin LeMizonos. They have different sets of halachas. Sometimes we're Motziyin LeParnasa, but not for Mizonos. V'Kathani Nami, Habanos Nizonos, Umis Parnasos. V'Chem V'Kamaduch, Dimashma D'Trei Milin Inhu. Right? You have in a lot of places where we distinguish between them. And our Mishnah clearly does not say the word Parnasa. It says the word Mizonos. So when the Gemara, or the Mishnah, means to say Parnasa, it says Parnasa. Over here it doesn't. So clearly it means only Mizonos, and not Parnasa. Now, the Ramban says that which Rashbam writes, Misparnasos, that means the Isur Nechasim that they get from the Nechsei Ha'av. There is a halacha that the daughters receive Isur Nechasim, one-tenth of the Nechasim, to be able to get married. And that's why the Rashbam says Parnasas Nisuin. He's not Stam talking about getting clothing, getting Malbushim. He's talking about the Isur Nechasim that each daughter is entitled to from the Nechsei Av. The Ramban says that's clearly what the Rashbam means. He says the problem is that it's Mashma from the Rashbam, if that's correct, that if there's not enough Nechasim to give each of the Banos Isur Nechasim, then the din would be that the Banim are Yishol Al Psachim. But the problem with that is Isur Nechasim is something that the daughters only have a taina to receive at the time that they're getting married. So why do we say, so the sons aren't going to receive a Yerusha now because in 10 years their sister might get married and demand the Isur Nechasim? It's hard to say that way, right? So the Ramban understands the Rashbam differently than Tosos, but he has a problem with the Rashbam just like Tosos has a problem with the Rashbam, meaning his understanding of the Rashbam doesn't lead him to any better position in being able to explain the Rashbam. He has a problem with the Rashbam also, that why should it be that the Isur Nechasim would cost the sons their opportunity for the Yerusha. That's point number two on the Mishnah. Point number three on the Mishnah is that many of the Rishonim, the Rosh, Ramban, Rashba, Yad Ramah, many of the Rishonim say that the din of Mizonos Habanos, when it comes to Nechasim Merubim and when it comes to Nechasim Watin, they sound similar. What sounds different is what the son's position is. The daughter's position sounds exactly the same, right? Nechasim Merubim, Nechasim Watin, either way the daughter's going to get Mizonos, but they say that no, there's a fundamental difference between the Mizonos that the daughters get in Nechasim Merubim and the Mizonos that they get in Nechasim Watin. When it's Nechasim Merubim, the Nechasim are Becheskas the Yisomim. The boys get the Nechasim, and they just have a chiyuv to give from those nechasim each day mizonos for their sisters, to support their sisters. When it comes to nechasim watim, the yisomim have to put aside in advance a significant amount of time, a significant amount of mezonos to last a very good amount of time, and that all goes into the daughter's account. So it's a very different way of supporting the daughters. It's not a day-by-day thing. It's a zman meruba that the Gemara is going to that the Gemara is going to express exactly what zman meruba is. And the raya is from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is mechalik the din of nechasim merubim from the din of nechasim watim into two parts. If it was really the same geder achiv, the Mishnah should have said that the banos are nizonos, and then we know that next level down, and if there's extra, then the sons get Yerusha also. The fact that the Mishnah divided into two separate halachos implies that they are two separate halachos, right? That the gedder of the din is different, and that's why the Mishnah says to is mechalikit that nechasim merubim habanim yirshu, the sons receive the yerusha, they get all the nechasim, and they have a din that they have to be mefarnes to their sisters every day. Nechasim watim habanus yizonu, that daughters receive the mezonos, that means we're mafresh all the tzarchei ha-mezonos in advance. Also, the Gemara is going to say, b'nechasim watim, it says, motzien lahem mezonos lebanos ad shivgaru. And the lashon motzien by nechasim watim is mashma, that dafka b'nechasim watim, it's a din of motziim from the banim, as opposed to merubim, where it's not a din of motziim, it's just a din in daily fee. Whereas motziim sounds like you take a big chunk to begin with. So that's the other raya that the Rishonim quote. Okay, those are the 3 points on the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, the kama merubin, how much is merubin? Meaning how much money is so much money that we assume that the sons can receive Yerusha and just have a daily obligation to support their sisters. Some ravidam rav, k'deshi yezonami and elu ve'elu shnei masra chodesh, enough that everyone could be supported for 12 months. If it's enough that everyone can be supported for 12 months, we don't automatically assume that the sons are going to go and waste all the money away, and the daughters are going to be left without mezonos. We can trust the sons to receive that Yerusha, support their sisters in a respectful way over the course of time. Right? That's what it is. Ki amrisa kameh deshmuel, amar zudiver megamliel beirav, avol chachamim omrim, he says, no, it's that's the sheet of Rav Gamliel, but the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say until they become bogros, until the girls grow up, until they become adults. That's the definition of nechasim merubim. That if there's enough mezonos to support everybody, all the children, until they become adults, then you have nechasim merubim. Says Rashbam, ad sheyivgru, shekach chisun lenavien, ad detibagran otinsavan, kedam rabuksubis. That's what it says in the Ksuba, right? He commits in the Ksuba to support the girls until they become bogros or until they get married. The inach muatin, and anything else, anything short of that, is muatin. Anything less than that is muatin, and therefore, what would happen if, let's say it cost $10,000 to support the girls till they become bogros and $10,000 to support the boys until the girls became bogros. And there's $15,000 in the estate. So what do? So you set aside $10,000, you give that to the girls, habanos yozonu first, and then whatever's left over, so sure, that will go to the boys, that's fine. They don't have to be shalal psachim right away if there's money that's in the account, so fine, let them get that money to support themselves for a little bit of time. It manami, ki yaso rav and amar b'yochanan, va'amri la amar rabba barbachana amar b'yochanan, kol she yozonu mehen, elu ve'elu ad she yivgaru hein merubin. As long as there's enough money that both boys and girls can be able to receive support until the girls grow up, until they become bogros, so that's called nechasim merubin. Pachos mikan, harei l'muatin. Anything less than that, that's called nechasim muatin. Good, so that's like the second daya that we just quoted. So says the Gemara, wait a second, does that mean to say that if there isn't enough money for everybody to receive all the mezonos until they become bogros, shaklulu banos l'kulu, the daughters get the entire Yerusha? I mean, what the Gemara is expressing is the case I just gave you, meaning $20,000 it takes to support boys and girls, $10,000 for each of them, and there's $15,000 in the estate. Do you mean to say that when there's anything less than $20,000, the sons get cut out and the daughters get everything, even more than they actually need for their mezonos? Shaklu banos l'kulu, says Rashbam, b'tmiya, dekivin dekarisa l'muatin, meaning apparently you're calling that nechasim muatin. You're saying anything less than the $20,000 is nechasim muatin. Muatin, Im Kain Lo Yutlu Ben Klum HaBanim. So we said in the Mishnah that when it's Nechasim Muatim, the Banim don't get anything. They go around begging. So does that make sense? So the Gemara says, no, of course not. Ela Amarava, Motzin Lemezonos Lebanos Ad Shiv Guru, Vashar Lebanim. You set aside the amount of money the daughters are going to need until they become Bogros. Fine, that's the amount of money you set aside. And the rest, you go and gets given to the children, to the sons. So the $10,000 the daughters need goes to the daughters, and the $5,000 that's left over, that goes to the sons. Fine, says the Gemara. Next halacha. Pshita, it's obvious in the following case. Merubin v'nismatu kvar zochu ben yarshin. Let's say there was nechas merubim, and then things went down in value, it was nismatu over time, right? Then it's pashut that the yarshim were already zocha, they already received their yerusha, and the we can't redivide everything and say, no, now it's nechas merubim, so now we put aside everything for the girls till they're bogros, and let the boys fend for themselves. Once it's already merubim v'nismatu, Rosh Bam says, pshita merubim v'nismatu b'shas misa hayu merubim. Now the price of food went up on a skalkul and a chasim, or the nechasim went down in value. So it's no longer nechasim rubim; it no longer has enough money in it to support the daughters and the sons until the daughters become bogros. So kvar zachu ben yarshim, the yarshim were already zachu b'shas misas avian, says Rosh Bam, v'krinabu nechasim rubim, and that's called nechasim rubim. V'yikchu abanos chelkan amagiyam kafi shuma shal shas misas avian, v'abanim yirshu chelkam shayim agiyam ba'os hasha'a. V'kol ma shechasru hanechasim chasru l'banos, l'banim l'kalechad kafi chelka aroylo. So yeah, everyone loses over here. The nechasim went down in value, the daughters can't say, hey, we're never supposed to lose. As long as there's enough money there to give us support till we become bogros, we're supposed to receive that. Now, what happens if now it's worth $19,000? So the girls can't say, well, set aside $10,000 for us and you take $9,000. The boys live like they live. They can live a normal life. And each day they provide mizanos for their sisters. Yes, it's going to run out. It's going to run out before they become bogros. But the boys are getting less than they anticipated also. Everyone's getting a little less than they anticipated. But that's just the way the halacha works. That when it's when it was nechasim rubim at the shas misa, so clearly the shas misa is determinant of how the yerusha is going to work. But the Gemara says, what about the following case? Muatim v'nisrabu mai. What if it was nechasim muatim and then it went up in value because, let's say, mizonos became a lot cheaper, Rosh Bam says. So then what's the din? Do we assume that the sons, it's a boon for the sons, that they get the extra money now? Because we set aside $10,000 to support the girls until they become bogros. Turns out it's only going to cost $8,000. Because food is a lot cheaper. Right? The local Costco opened up, they could buy in bulk, and things are going to be cheaper, and they're going to be able to... Right? So now what? So those $2,000 go to the sons, right? Do the daughters transfer that to the sons? So Birshus Yarshin, so says the Gemara, Birshus Yarshin Kaimi, Hilchach Birshus Yarshin Shavuach Odomus Lukimisalki Yarshin Mehacha. What do we say? These are the two tzadim. Do we say it's in the Rishus of the Yarshim and therefore it's their benefit? Or do we say no, the Yarshim have already been knocked out of the picture? Meaning these $10,000 were granted to the daughters to support them. The Yarshim are no longer players over here. They don't get to talk about these $10,000. It's already beyond them. So Tashma says Gemara will bring a raya. Dam Rabbi Asiyam Rabbi Yochanan Yisomin Shekadmu Umachru Benachasim Muatin Mashamachru Machru. If Yisomim sell Nechasim Muatin, their sale is going to be valid. So what's the pshat? Says Rosh Bam Yisomin Shekadmu Kodim Shemidu Banos Bedin. Before the daughters take the sons to court to set aside their $10,000 for their support. Umachru Afilu Benachasim Muatin. The sons decide to sell. They sell the father's stuff from the father's estate, even though there wasn't enough to go around. Masha machru machru. Dein motzin l'mazon isha v'abanos min chasim u'shubadim. The mazonos of the daughters cannot be taken away from the kuchos. V'kol shkein min chasim rubim, k'da amr b'ksubis, ha'achim shashibdu motzin l'parnasa v'ein motzin l'mazonos. Shema mina, what do you see from there? Kivan shem machru mechirasu mechira. If by nechasim watin, they even have the right to do mechira. They even have the right to sell. Yeshlan tfisas yad b'nechasim. So we see that in some way they are considered owners of the nechasim. V'im nisrabu yeshlan chelik behen. And therefore, if the nechasim go up in value, they have a chelik of that nechassim, uzchus on behenomedes, and there's zchus, and that nechassim does not go away. Tosfos disagrees. It's long. Tosfos over here, Yisom shekadmu makru b'nechassim watim, says Tosfos pirush b'kuntros shekadmu makru kodim sha'amdu b'din ligvos lebanos nechassim watim. Umi l'rinir dafilu kfar tafsu abanos o higvulem bezdin imachrach and machur. I mean, says Tosfos, think about it for a second. What are we comparing here? We're comparing apples and oranges, according to the Rashbam. Our case that we're asking about is where the daughters already received their allotment. Let's say the number we've been working with is $10,000. Right? They already received that $10,000. Then it turns out it's only going to really cost $8,000 to support them. That was our shiloh. They already got, based on already awarded them the money. And we want to know, that the brothers still have a hand in that money, just in case it doesn't cost as much to support them? So what are we bringing Raya from? From a case where before Beis Din never allotted the money to the girls? How's that a Raya at all? Before Beis Din never allotted the money to the girls? Yeah, there I understand that the boys still have a tvisa in it. That the boys still have some sort of tvisa in the chasim. But how does that compare to a case where Beis Din already allotted the money to the girls? So Tosa says it must be that the case of the sons selling off the part of the Yerusha by Nechasim Watim, that their Mechira is going to be a valid Mechira. What you have to say is that the case is that it's already after the Banos were already Tofes, after the daughters were awarded their allotment, still the sons have the right to be Mocher. So if the sons have the right to be Mocher, then you see the Raya, right? Then it's very clear that the sons have the right to be Mocher, then for sure they have the right to receive whatever extra money there is left over from after the daughters receive their Mezonos. The Rabbein Yonah explains that since the Mezonos Habanos are collected from Karka, and Karka is always in the Cheskos of the Yisomim, so long as the Banos didn't yet sell that Karka, so the Karka is not, there is no kinyan that the daughters have on the karka. There's a shibud on the karka for the daughters, so that's why it's still considered the son's right to sell. Letzorcha themselves, right? They could always sell the karka, letzorcha mezonoseim. And therefore, if the bottom come and they sell the karka first, their mechira is going to be chal. I mean, the daughters have a shibud on the karka that they have the right, whenever they need, to sell that karka to be able to use it for their mezonos. If they haven't sold that karka, so they don't own it, the sons own that karka. So therefore, the sons have the right to mechira. So let's say you have $10,000 of karka set aside to support the daughters. And the daughters only sold off $8,000 worth of karka, and sure enough, they were fully supported. So the halacha in our Gemara is that they don't get to have a claim on the rest of the karka. The rest of the karka is still berushos, the Yisomim, it's still Bereshus, the boys. So in that level, when you think of it in those terms, it seems to make a lot more sense. Now, the Rav Elchanan just points out, according to Tosfos, that the Banim can sell even after Beis Din was Magvid and Chasim for the Banos. He says, why is this different than any other Balchov? Any case of Balchov, after Beis Din already collects the person who's owed the money, so the Chasim becomes theirs. So why is this any different that the Beis Din collects these nechasim, these lands, on behalf of the daughters? So doesn't it become the daughter's property? Why should this be any different than any other Balchov? So Rav Elchanan says what you have to say is, and we've been saying this all along really, but this is Rav Elchanan's ha'ara, is that the Chiyuv Mezonos is not a one-time Chiyuv. The Chiyuv Mezonos is not that there's a one-time chiyuv to give the mezonos that will last them till they become bogros. No, it's that each and every day the sons have a new chiyuv to provide mezonos as the girls need. And if one day, let's say, the girls aren't hungry, they're sick, and they can't eat anything because they're not feeling well, and they can't eat anyway, so then the banim don't have to give anything, right? You don't say, oh, he was already chayv, the father was already chayv in these mezonos, it's tonight suba, so it's a predetermined amount. No, it's each and every day. You figure out what do you need, and we give. Now there's a shibud on the karka up until the amount that we suspect it's going to take, but each day there's a new chiyuv. So even though the daughters collect from the had it not been for the takana of Hefsel Lekuchos, the chiv would not be there would be no chiv at the time that the son is selling the karka. There is no chiv at the time the son is selling the karka. The chiv is each and every day, and that's why the son has the right to sell the karka. He still retains the right on that karka. It's nechasim ushubadim, but it's not already considered a gvias hachov on behalf of the daughters at that time. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. We're in the middle of the page. Kuf mem amud aleph. Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah. Kameh Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was sitting in front of Rabbi Avo, and was asking the following shayla. Almanaso Mausha Tamait bin Nechasim. What if you have, when you're determining whether there's Nechasim Rubim or Nechasim Watim, what if a person dies and he leaves Banim and Banos, and he also leaves an Almana? Now, the Almana also gets Mizonos. So do we first say, okay, there's $25,000 in the estate. It's going to take $20,000 to feed the Banim and the Banos. It's also going to take $7,000 to feed the Almana. So do we first say, oh, the Almana is going to cost $7,000. That leaves 18. That means it's Nechasim Watim. Or do we say, no, it's $25,000, it's Nechasim Rubim. Do we view the Almana as something that's Mima'it from the Nechasim? Now, on the one hand, it makes a lot of sense that she should be Mima'it, because it's real money, and it's money that's going to have to be spent, right? It's a real chiyuv. You're going to have to, the money's going to have to come from somewhere, so you're going to have to give the Almana that money that she's owed that for her support. So you're really going to be left with the Nechasim Watim. Al Dilmar, maybe no. Kivin di ilu mintzava lesla hashnami lesla. Maybe tomorrow she'll meet a new guy, she'll fall in love, she'll get married, and there goes the chiv mizonos. Meaning, yes, we estimate that the chiv mizonos is going to cost a lot of money over the years, but we don't know if the chiv mizonos is going to last a number of years. The chiv mizonos for the almana might last a week. It will cost us $200, and shine, we'll be done. That's it, right? And that's And then that will be over with it, and we'll go and there will be nechasim rubim left. So how do we view it in advance? I mean, we have to figure out whether we're going to allot $10,000 right off the bat for the daughters, or we're going to say that no, the banim are going to receive the yerusha and they'll have a daily chiyuv to support the daughters. So imtim tzolamar kivin. So now the Gemara is going to give a series of imtim tzolamars. Imtim tzolamar kivin di ilu mitzva lesla hashnami lesla. So if you're going to say like the second side, that since the almana could always get married and then and not receive mizonos, therefore we don't take her into the cheshbon when determining whether it's nechasim rum nechasim watim. What about the following case? Bas ishto maushet might be nechasim. What about the man who died? His wife had a daughter who he had agreed to support. As part of his ksuba, he had agreed to support. The Gemara Ksubas talks about this. He agrees to support his wife's daughter from a previous marriage for 5 years. Now that halacha, that he supports the wife's daughter for 5 years, even holds true if she gets remarried. Right, Rashbam writes, Bas ishto misha kibel of b'shas nisun lozen bas ishto misha acher chamei shanim umeis umutal al yarshim lozen. Now it's the yarshim's job to support her. So do we say, Miyamrinan, back in the Gemara, Miyamrinan, kivin tchi mintzva nami isla, since even if she were to get married, she's still entitled to that support. So umemata, therefore we should take that out of the cheshbon of the nechasim when determining whether our case is one of nechasim rubim or one of nechasim watim. Or maybe we say no, that since if she would die, she would not receive it, meaning the daughter could always die, and then she doesn't receive that amount of money, so maybe it doesn't come into the cheshbon, and it shouldn't be mimayit from our cheshbon of what's considered nechasim rubim and what's considered nechasim watim. Says Gemara Vayter, next imtim tzolomar. Vimtim tzolomar kivin dilu meisa lesla. So maybe you can say, well, maybe we shouldn't v'lomimata, that maybe since, if after all she dies, the estate may never have to pay her this money, and therefore it's not going to be mimayit from the cheshbon of what's considered nechasim rubim, what's considered nechasim watim. Balchov ma'u sheimayit bin chasim. What about a balchov? Why is a balchov different? Mi amrin kivin dechimayis nami islay mimayit. Because Balchov, even if he dies, you still owe him the money. You just pay it off to his Yarshim. So Balchov, even if he dies, you have to pay it. So there's no way out of it. Oh, Dilmer, maybe no. Given the Bechasri Govayna lo memayit. Since Balchov is Mechusar Govayna, he has not yet collected, so therefore it's not going to be memayit. So therefore it's still going to be considered Nechasim Rubim, because at the time of the guy's death, the Balchov hasn't come to collect yet. So you have $25,000. Now that's called Nechasim Rubim, even though you owe the Balchov money. So those are the series of three shailas, all within Tim Salomers. And just important to keep in mind, the Seder HaDevarim is, it starts with a shaila, meaning we work in the direction of saying that it's more likely to be mimayit. We go from the least likely to be mimayit to the most likely to be mimayit. Right? We're saying that in the case of the almana, that's probably not going to be mimayit because it's the easiest to get out of that one, because all she has to do is get remarried. The daughters, a little harder to get out of, because you have to support 5 years, but you never know, she might die, so it's somewhat easy to get out of it. And the Baal Chov is almost impossible to get out of, because even if he dies, it is impossible to get out of. The only way to get out of it is if he never comes to collect. But there's no way to really get out of that chiyuv. So we go from that which is easiest to get out of to that which is most difficult to get out of, and therefore we go from that which is least likely to be mimayit min hachasim to that which is most likely to be mimayit min hachasim. The reason I make a big deal out of that is because that the next line of the Gemara says that some reverse the whole series of shailas. V'yikad v'yla li'idach kisa. Some ask these shailas in the exact opposite direction. Bal chov ma'ushi mimayit min hachasim. We start with the bal chov, then basisho ma'ushi mimayit min hachasim, then amanasa ma'ushi mimayit min hachasim. How would it work then? We say, is the Baal Chov mimayit bin hachasim? Then we say, okay, wait a second, the Baal Chov is the most likely to be mimayit. So we're saying, if you hold the Baal Chov is mimayit, so then would you also say that Bas Ishto is mimayit? If she is, what about an almana, which is even less likely to be mimayit? Would we also say she's mimayit? So the Imtim Tzolomers will go in the direction of yes being mimayit. Whereas the way we had it, the Imtim Tzolomers go in the direction of not being mimayit. And that's critical in terms of determining Psak Halach, as we pointed out. Very often, when you have kashas that are left unanswered, we're going to see if this is left unanswered, we're not there yet, but very often when you have shailas that are left unanswered in the Gemara, and there's a series of shailas that follow a line of Imtim Tzolomers, the Imtim Tzolomers guide us in how to paskin. But over here, we have 2 days in the Gemara, one where the Imtim Tzolomers go along the lines of yes being mimayit, and the other where the Imtim Tzolomers go along the lines of not being mimayit. So it follows in different directions. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. A fourth shaila, once we discussed that the first three go in both directions, almanasa ubas ezeman kodemes. Let's say there's an almana and there's a daughter. Who comes first? What does that mean? Says Rashbam, ve'ein kan ela mazon achas mehen. There's enough mazonos for one of them. Ushtein tovos mazonos, but tanaik suba. They're both saying, look, tanaik suba, we're owed mazonos. Hilkoch kivin to travai, but takan to drabanan achli, ezo tiktom. Since they both are supposed to receive, as a takan to drabanan, they're both supposed to receive mazonos, which one comes first? The Marshal writes that according to those Rishonim that say that pemakom Yerushas Bas, she's Yoreshes Mida Oraisa, meaning the Almanim would not be Mema'it. There are those Rishonim that say, wait a second, is this Takanat Rabbanan that the daughter gets Mizonos? If there are no sons, then the daughter gets Yerusha. She's the one that receives the Yerusha. So in that situation, the Almanos would not be Mema'it, according to several Rishonim. Then you have to say that this Suffolk doesn't appear in the Gemara, because this would be the same Suffolk as... because the suffix over here is almano bas without sons, without any banim, so we already had a suffix when you have almanaso and banim, right? Meaning over here, almanaso and a bas without banim is the same as the suffix of an almana and banim, right? Because there's a yoresh and there's a takana derabanan person. So which one receives, right? So the marshal points out that according to those deus mishonim, lechoru the suffix we're not gores. Okay, but anyway, we are gores. Amanaso bas ma'al kodemes. Samalei zili idna v'tala machar. So when the shaila was asked, he said, you know what? I need to think about it. Come back tomorrow. Sometimes you have a shaila like that. It's important that people. Sometimes rabbanim need time to think about it. It's a normal thing. It's adrab. It's better. Rav Shachter used to say that. Rav Salvechik used to say that the halacha that a person can be more halacha b'fnei rabbo. Then nowadays our Rebbe Mufak is svarim. There is no Rebbe Mufak. We learn mostly from svarim. So for a rav to paskin a shaila, he's not allowed to be more halacha b'fnei rabbo. He has to first consult with his Rebbe. He has to first consult with the svarim that it's inappropriate to just paskin right off the bat. It's important that when paskin a shaila now, it's a question. I mean, let's say you've had the same shaila 1,000 times. You have the same shaila, so you already did consult with the svarim. You don't need to keep on consulting with the svarim every single time. But still, when the shaila comes up, sometimes there are different nuances. So sometimes people say, we want an answer. Rav Shachter said that sometimes people ask him, just when we ask Rav Salvechik, he would give us his gut feeling sometimes. Just give us your gut. So Rav Salvechik's gut means a lot more than my gut. I don't want to give you my gut. I'd rather consult with the svarim. I'd rather see what it says. Okay, so anyway, so he says, hey, let me think about it. Come back tomorrow. So kiyasa. It's important when people, when the rabbi says come back tomorrow, they actually come back tomorrow, because sometimes the rabbi should call back probably, but sometimes he forgets. Kiyasa, Amrlei, Pshot Mi Askada. He says,
I'm saying rabbis in general. So Kiyasam Leib showed me as Chadi. He says when he came back the next day, he did come back the next day. He says, "Oh, I was able to answer at least one of them. I worked on one of them." Dam Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yasi, Aslo Almana Itzal Abbas, Kabasi Itzal Achin Benachasim Watin. An Almana, in comparison to a daughter, has the same din as a daughter in comparison to her brothers when there's nechasim watin. Ma baseitz alachin abas nizonis va'achin yishol al psachim. Just like a baseitz alachin, the halacha is that the daughter gets mizonos and the brothers are yishol al psachim. The brothers are stuck begging for food. Af almanaitz albas almana nizonis albas tishol al psachim. Same is true with an almanaitz albas. The almana gets the mizonos and the bas is left tishol al psachim. That's she's left begging for food. That's the way it's going to have to work. Okay. Admon omer b'shvil shani zachrif sadati. So then we get to the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Admon doesn't understand when it's nechasim watim, the daughters get all those mizonos and the sons lose out. He says, what, just because I'm a male, I lose? So my ka'amar, ask the Gemara, what in the world is Admon talking about? What's he so bothered by? That because he's a boy, he loses. So amar abayi hachi ka'amar. No, this is what he means to say. B'shvil shani zachar v'royani lasok b'torah hifsadati. He says, wait a second, what's the whole idea over here? That it's inappropriate for girls to be going around door to door asking for food, that it's beneath their dignity, called kvud basmelch prima, and it's beneath their dignity to go around asking? I'm a Talmud Chacham. Someone who learns Torah, it's also beneath their dignity to go around begging for money. That's not appropriate to have someone like me coming going around. So Rava says, you may be right theoretically that it's inappropriate for Talmud Chacham to debase himself by going around asking for door to door, you know, begging for handouts. But when it comes to the halachos of Yerusha, there's no din that a Talmud Chacham is different than anybody else. By halacha of Yerusha, let's say you have two sons. One is a Talmud Chacham, and one is not a Talmud Chacham. Does the one who's a Talmud Chacham receive more Yerusha? Absolutely not. So these are the laws of Yerusha. So you're right. It's inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham to have to go around begging for money or food or whatever. But these are laws of Yerusha. Talmud Chacham has there's no way we can show favoritism to a Talmud Chacham. So that couldn't have been his problem. Elam Rav HaChikamar. B'shvil shani zacha v'roi ani lirush b'nechasim Reuben hifsadti b'nechasim Watin. Meaning what his astonishment was, that I receive nechasim Reuben. I'm Yorish HaKol when it's nechasim Reuben. No matter what it is, I get everything. And all I have to do is give a daily pennies for the daughter to get food. So by nechasim Watin, I have the lower hand? Meaning which is it? Am I favored or am I not favored? So that's why he was bothered by how incongruous it was that when it comes to nechasim Reuben, he gets so much, and when it comes to nechasim Martin, he gets nothing. Okay, new Mishnah. Hiniach banim ubanos betumtum. Add someone else into the mix, right? If a man leaves over sons, daughters, and someone who's ambiguous genitalia, right? We don't know if he's a boy or a girl. Bizman shan nechasim Reuben. So if there's nechasim Reuben, hazuchar m'dochno, so it's on the kevos. So the tumtum is going to say, I want a piece of the Yerusha, I'm a boy. And the boys will say, prove it. You're going to have to go to the girls. We'll give you mizonos. We'll give you your allotment each day of mizonos. Nechasim muatin. Let's say there's very few nechasim, so the tumtum is going to say, I want my mizonos. I want to be cheshmed into the mizonos like the girls. So the girls can say, prove that you're a girl. You're going to have to be treated like a boy in this regard, and you're not going to receive anything. Let's say a guy's wife is pregnant. He says, if my wife gives birth to a boy, then I want him to receive a mana. So yelda zachar yitol mana. So if it's a boy, he gets a mana. If he says in the keva masayim yelda nekeva natalis masayim, right? If he says if my wife gives birth to a girl, I want it to be masayim. So if she gives birth to a girl, sure enough, it will be masayim. Im zachar mana im nekeva masayim. Let's say he says both. If it's a boy, I want him to receive a mana. If it's a girl, I want her to receive masayim. The yelda zachar unekeva. And she gives birth to Zachar Unakeva, Zachar Notalman Nakeva Natalis Masayim. So the Zachar gets 100, the Nakeva gets 200. So how do you read that? She gives birth to what? How many babies did she just give birth to? So Pash Pshadit, right, two. That she gave birth to twins. Says Rashbam, Yesh Mefarshim, she yelda Shnei Biyachad. Some say that she gave birth to twins over here, a zachar v'anakeva, v'yitol a zachar man v'anakeva titol masayim, k'dam ra'av im zachar man v'anakeva masayim. V'lav milsi, says Rashbam, but that's incorrect. Shari lo amar ha'av im yolda zachar u'nakeva, The father never said, if my wife gives birth to both a boy and a girl, he never even imagined that there are going to be twins over here, so he never had in mind to give away $300. Right? That wasn't his cheshbon. He thought it was one or the other. So he's saying if it's a zachar, 100, if it's a nekeva, 200. The mashma im zachar levado below nekeva, or nekeva below zachar. And therefore, if it were actually twins, they'd get nothing in this case. Because maybe he wasn't thinking about it, or he wasn't planning on, or he wasn't expecting the birth of twins over here. So that's what the Rashbam says. So the Leidas Tum does not count at all, because the guy never had it in mind to even cheshbon in if twins were going to be born. Okay, so that, well, how does the Mishnah read then? Yalda Zachar Unikeva means if he gives birth to a Zachar or a Nekeva. If it's a Zachar, it's not Talmana, Nekeva is not Talas Masayim, says the Mishnah. What if he makes one of these deals and then it's a tumtum, so they get nothing? Maybe you might have argued, wait a second, the tumtum can say, I'm at least a boy, I'm entitled to at least 100. No, it's einu notel. Why? Says Rashbam, because this is assuming deberia b'fneiatzma chashavlei lo zachar v'lo nekeva k'nim farish b'gemara, that he's considered a beria b'fneiatzma, he's neither male nor female. Im amar kol mashatei lidishti yitol hareze yitol v'emein shem yoresh elohu yoresh asakal. If a man says whatever my wife gives birth to, I don't care what it is, right? Sometimes people say that they don't think about all the possibilities, right? Say I don't care what it is, it doesn't make a difference. I want this baby to have whatever money, and then it turns out that it's a tumtum. So the tumtum is going to receive also, but v'mein shem yorish aluhu, he's going to yashin everything. If he's the only yorish left, if he's the only yorish that's there, so then he's going to yashin everything. Now Rashbam says yorish is a call. Why? So says Rashbam, two possible reasons. Either hech d'laki yorish aluhu lo nafik mechal ben. Ein lo ben ein lo ayena lav v'im ein lo bas ayena leha im ein lo bas ayena leha, meaning the point is that the pasuk says ben ein lo, which means but if he has anybody ayena le, and therefore tumtum counts as anybody, so he gets yerusha inami mishum de karina be hakarov elav mishpachtov yerashusa, or it's because the pasuk says hakarov elav mishpachtov, and he certainly hakarov elav mishpachtov. Rav Chanan points out the nafkamina between the two pshatim and the Rashbam is in regards to ptur yibum. That if the father dies and he leaves over this ben tumtum, if you say that the tumtum is shaykh bi yerusha because of ben ein lo ayena lav, so since legabe yibum we also have that drasha of ayena lav, so the and that's why mamzer paters from yibum, so tumtum would also pater from yibum. But according to the second time of the Rashbam, that it's a din of hakarovi lav mi mishpachto, which is a din in yibum, which is din in yerusha, there's no such drasha in yibum, so then the tumtum would not be matir in terms of yibum, would not exempt the wife from chiyuv of yibum. Okay, we'll pick up the Gemara tomorrow.